It's good to be here today, and taller than a mother, so I'd like to say thank you for being here. Thank you for setting an example before your children. And for those that raise their children to be faithful, we are very, very thankful for those that raise children to have faith in God and continue with Him in this life. That seems to be a thing that's getting smaller and smaller and fewer and fewer that's doing those things these days. It seems that the mothers are not the mothers they used to be, and I don't know why all that is, but it seems that's the way, because we got a lot of things going on in our country as far as marriage and those kind of things that are not right at all. You know, we got some meeting coming up, and we won't talk about getting ready and going and preparing and being ready for that meeting. It's going to be upon us real soon. It's going to start Sunday morning. We all start going on Sunday through Wednesday. But we need to be prepared and be ready. So we probably need to do some work in here Saturday or anytime anybody has an opportunity to come down and help to prepare for that. And there's things that we need to do about passing out flyers. I have some in the bag back there. And I'm going to be so busy on this building getting it ready, I'm not going to be the pass out flyers like I normally would do. I'm not going to be going door knocking and that kind of stuff. But we need to go, and somebody needs to go. We need to let it be known and spread the word and try to put it on the radio and the television and our own, in the paper and let other people know in other places. Jesus said in Matthew 28:19-20, Jesus said, He came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore teaching all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and along with you always, even to the end of the world. And we look at that statement, go out of the world and to teach the world, and we're overwhelmed. It seems though it's an impossible thing for us to do these days. We look at that statement and we think, well, man, the obstacles are greater than they've ever been before. It's hard to do. But I want you to take a thought for a minute, and sometimes I think we can use the fact that it's hard to do as an excuse. The fact that it looks impossible to us, so we do nothing. It's kind of like when God told the children of Israel, He told them to go into the land and to take this land that He promised them. He said, it's going to be yours for an inheritance for your children and your children's children, and I want you to go into that land and to take that land. And we can read about it in Exodus chapter 14. When, they got there and they sent in the spies, they come back and said, yes, it's true, the land is full of milk and honey. Surely it's good there, a good place, but we're like grasshoppers on their side. They're giants. They're strong. They're people of war. And we're not people of war. We don't have the ability. We don't have the knowledge. We don't have the size. We can't go into there. And so they brought up an evil report against God, against the land, and wanted to go back to Egypt. And so what did God do? He told them to wander 40 years in the wilderness. To all those that were age of war that was old enough to win and taken the land, so they all died. And so they wandered 40 years in the wilderness because they didn't think they could do it. And I think today we have that same kind of problem that, we don't think we can go and do what God has told us to do. We don't feel like we can go do it. We're not capable, we're not strong enough, we're not big enough, there's not enough of us. But often we do as they did, we forget what God did. We forget what God does. We forget the capability of God. In Deuteronomy 31:6, He said to them, be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, He it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Jesus said, I never leave you nor forsake you. Same kind of statement. And He's telling us to go, just like God told them to go. But they were afraid and they forgot what God was capable of doing. So they didn't want to go. And they didn't go. It was God who fought. It was God who won the battle. But they had to go. They had to go and engage in the battle. And the same thing is true for us today. We go out there and talk to somebody about the gospel of Jesus Christ, or we talk to somebody about the battle, about the Lord, about the Bible. It's not us. It's God who fights the battle with their mind. It's God who fights the battle with their heart. It's God who actually brings forth any victories that are won. And all we are is just His servants to go and do what He said to do. To go and take it to them. We need to engage people in discussions. Talk about these things. Talk about things like what the president was talking about the other night. Talk about these things. Talk about what the Bible does say. Talk about what the Bible has to say. Talk about God's will and God's way. We need to engage people in such a way to make them think. To make them think about the kind of life they're living. To make them think about this world and the things that's going on. To make them think that maybe they need to read the Bible and see what it has to say. Ask questions. Ask questions about the Bible. Ask questions about marriage. Ask questions about different things that are in the Bible. And try to get people interested in that. Make people think. Engage them in conversation. Don't be afraid to talk. Don't be afraid to engage in the battle. We need not to be afraid. And remember, it's God who fights the battle. And if we're doing God's will, He will be with us and we will succeed. We will not fail. Don't be afraid to engage people in discussion of our scriptures or what God has to say about the way this world's going. Deuteronomy 20:4. He says, "For the Lord your God is He that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you." You see, it's God who goes and fights the battle. It's God, but we have to go just like He told them to go. We have to go and engage in the fight. You see, you can't see God there, but He's there in the Spirit, and He's there in power. He's there in making things happen. You talk about wars and rumors of wars, and when our country went to war, you know, I firmly believe it's God who decides the battles, who wins the wars. Speak up for the church. Speak up for Jesus Christ. Get people to think about it. Ask them questions about it. Don't be afraid to talk about God and His Word. Don't be afraid to talk about the church that Jesus Christ said He built. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 28:18? Jesus came and spake of them, saying, "All power is given me and in heaven. All power is given to me in heaven and in earth." All power is given to Jesus Christ. And if He's with us, and He's going to fight for us, why are we afraid? Why are we shy when it comes to the Lord? Why don't we draw back? He said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." See, He said, go and teach, not be afraid. Go and teach. He said, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. So what do we have to fear? Are we afraid we're going to lose a friendship? Is it a friend that, is it really a friend if they won't walk with you in Christ? Is it really a friend if he's going to turn bitter against you because you're concerned about his soul? Is that really a friend? He might drag you down if you continue to walk with him and lose your soul. So when we think about this command, Jesus said to go and teach the whole world. That looks kind of impossible to us, doesn't it? You know, man, it's just too big for me to handle. But think about this, that He equips us to do what He sent us to do. You know, he gave us command, and specifically there he's talking to the apostles. 12 men. We're more than 12. He sent them out to go and teach, to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And that they did. Think about what they had to work with. They walked everywhere they went, or they went in a boat, or they rode a donkey. They didn't have automobiles. They couldn't get in their car this afternoon to be in New Orleans tonight. They couldn't go that quickly to talk to somebody or see somebody. They didn't have the complete scriptures. All they had was the Old Testament. Of course, they had the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to reveal other things to them. But, you know, people didn't believe them. And that's why they had the miracles to prove that they, what they said was from God. But we got this word is from God. And it proves, that's how we prove what we have from God. And think about the, we got planes and trains and satellites and television, radio, phones, computers, email, Facebook. You want to say something to somebody? It's so easy to say it. Pick up your phone, call them. Go find them on Facebook. You have to know their phone number. Send something to them. It's easy to say things to anybody, anywhere today. But we don't say it. Because why? We're afraid. We don't think we can do it. We don't think it'll work. We don't think the gospel will win souls for the Lord. Or we don't believe they're lost. There's some kind of reasons there that hinders us from doing that. And you think how the apostles were handicapped compared to us today. They were handicapped. They had to go down into the streets and stand on the corner and talk to people. They couldn't go to somebody's house personally hardly and talk to them without walking. And we just pick up our phone and call them. We can turn our computer on and reach them no matter where they are in the world. All over the world. You know, they were handicapped compared to what we have today. If they did it in their day, we can do it in ours. I want you to consider the job that Gideon was given by God. He told him to go and to fight the army of the Midianites and destroy them. And as he was preparing to go, he told Gideon to take his men down into the water and let them laugh. And he went down there and he only had 300 men that laughed. And he told him to take the 300 men. And he said in Judges 7:7, the Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men that laughed will I save you and deliver the Midianites into thy hand. And let all the other people go, every man into his house. I would have been literally impossible. You know, it would have been impossible for Gideon to have won that battle with 300 against tens of thousands. And did they have missiles? No. Did they have guns? No. What did he give them to fight with? A lantern and some pitchers. Take your lanterns, light your lanterns, and break your pitchers. And he did. And God fought. And God gave them victory. You know, if we just engage in the battle, it's possible to win because God is with us. And if God be for us, who can be against us? Who can stand against us when God is standing for us? I think the problem is, we're too afraid. We think, well, it's impossible. You know, maybe with men it is, but with God, nothing's impossible. All things are possible. When you look at it in the eyes of man, Gideon would have lost that battle hands down. But with God, it was possible. He won the battle. In Luke 1:37, Jesus said, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. So it's possible with God. And it's true for us today. Well, you know, we cannot spread the task of spreading the gospel all over the world without God. Without God with us. without God helping us to fight and standing with us. But I believe, firmly believe, that when God tells us to do something, He gives us the ability and the talents and the means wherewith to do it. And we have this gospel committed to us in an earthen vessel. And we are told by God to take this to the world. And this is the gospel that saves men's souls. And a man is not going to hear about the gospel except some men tell him. He ain't going to know except somebody says something to him. And so we are to spread this news, the good news about Jesus Christ. And He gives us tools we can use to do it with. We go, we need to go with a loving, obedient heart to God, loving mankind, and desiring to save their souls, having a zeal to share God's word with others, looking for an opportunity to spread the gospel, to reach out, to give salvation. God will enable us to do it if we'll do it. He will enable us to be the success, have success in it if we'll go. It is God's desire that men be saved. That's why Jesus died on the cross. There's never been any greater act of love done than that, to reach out to touch men's hearts. But then He placed that in our hands. He placed it in our hands, and it's our responsibility to see that people know about it, to give the opportunity for it. You know, Paul prayed that a door of utterance be opened unto him. He looked for a way somehow that he might reach out to somebody. You know, and if we do the same, God won't let us down. He'll give us an opportunity to reach out. He gives you an opportunity to teach somebody, but we got to engage in the battle. You got to go. Our problems are us. We're our own problem. Sometimes we're lazy. You know, the apostles start out with 12 or 120 at the most, and see what they did. And we have more than that. But we're not willing to go. We'd rather sit home and watch television, play on the computer, than try to win souls to Christ. We make excuses like the children of Israel did. We can't do it. Look at them. They're so big, much bigger than us, and mighty and strong than us. But we don't have the skills, and we don't have the knowledge, and we're just not capable of doing it. We make excuses. But if we'll let down those excuses and just go. Let's not turn our TV on to watch TV this week. Let's spend every evening off after work trying to reach people with the gospel of Christ. Let's pray about this meeting in the morning and pray about it in the evening and look for opportunities and ways that we can bring the good news to somebody. In Ephesians 6:6, he says, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servant of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. It's God's will that souls be saved. It's God's will that we take the gospel to the lost. So I ask that we use what God has given us, with what abilities and talents and ways that we can do it, to reach our full potential in spreading the gospel. Let us pray. Pray for opportunities like Paul did. Pray and look for that open door. Pray and look for the open door that God has given you to where you can go and share the gospel. Colossians 4:3 says, we are praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. Paul says, pray for an open door of utterance. When you pray that prayer, look for the door. Look for the opportunity. Look for the place where you can share the gospel. Second, go, and go without doubting. God's with you. Don't go and think you're going to be defeated, because if you go thinking you're going to be defeated, you're going to be defeated. Go without doubting and without wrath and without anger. Let nobody say anything to you that will make you angry. Nothing should make you angry, no matter what they say. 1 Timothy 2 and 8, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. And so let us pray and let us go without wrath and without doubting. Thirdly, follow through. Follow through. Keep going. Follow. It's like you go up to bat, you know, they beat you with a bat, you're going to bat that ball. You got to follow through with that bat, or it's not going to be a successful hit. When you go to shoot a ball, you got to follow through. The same thing through here. You got to follow through with what you're saying. Follow through with what you're teaching. Let it be seen in your life and your action. Follow through with the words of God. He says in 1 Corinthians 16 and 13, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. That's kind of like what he told back there at Joshua. Be strong. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of them. But stand fast and be strong. And he said, let all things be done with charity. In 1 Corinthians 14 and 26, he said, let all things be done unto edifying. So follow through with charity and edifying. Show that love. Show that you care about their souls. And show that the teaching, bring forth the edifying and the teaching of God. And then last, never, never, never give up. Never, ever quit and just say, I can't. 2 Corinthians 4:1, therefore seeing we have this ministry, we have received mercy, we faint not. Don't faint. Just keep on striving. You know, sometimes people will say no. Most times they say no. Sometimes people are going to turn it off and just turn away from it. So, don't take it personally. You presented the Word of God. They rejected the Word of God, not you. Samuel, he took it personally when they wanted them a king, and God told Samuel, they have not rejected you, they rejected me. And so when you presented the gospel, and you present the Word of God, and you know you spoke the truth, and they turn away from it, or they get in bitterness towards you, don't take it personally. You know, it's like when Cain was mad at his brother Abel. He should have been talking to God. It was God who made a difference in that. Instead, he wanted to argue with his brother. But don't take that personally. It's going to happen because people are rebellious toward God and His Word. He said in Galatians 6 and 9, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. So, you know, the well-doing is going to be weary and tiresome. But let us not faint. Let us not quit. Let us keep on keeping on. Don't let the rejections discourage you and you quit. Hebrews 13 and 5, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So if Christ hasn't left you, and he hasn't forsaken you, then why should we take it personal? Why should we feel like quitting? Why should we draw back because someone rejected the Scripture, rejected the Word of God? He says, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. He's with us. And if we presented the gospel to somebody or someone and they turn away from it, they snub their noses at it, whatever the case might be, whatever they've done, you know, you did your part. That's between them and God. There's that problem if they reject the Word of God. Remember that Christ is with us. He fights for us and He'll take care of us because we belong to Him. He's there for us because we are His. God is for us because we are the children of God. If you're this morning have been baptized in Christ, the Scripture says in Galatians 3:27, for many of us have been baptized in Christ and put on Christ. we get the opportunity to come this morning to be baptized in Christ. If you're here this morning and there's sin in your life, that might be what's a hindrance. You know, Paul told, when God told Moses to go to Egypt to deliver the people, to go speak to the people and tell them about the promised land and bring them out, well, he met him on the way, and in the end he was going to take his life because Moses had sin in his life. His eldest son had not been circumcised. He had to first clean that, his own self up, but then he could go, and when he was ready and prepared, he went. Same way with us. We got sin in our life. We need to take care of that first. Someone we're talking to, and they come, points at you and say, well, look, you know, you're trying to remove a speck out of my eye, and there's a beam in yours. You say, I've removed that beam. I've taken it out. I confess my sin to God. He forgives me. 1 John 1:9, he says, we confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you're here this morning, you're subject to the gospel call, either way.